Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God promised rest for the people of Israel in the Old Testament when he promised to give them a land that they would dwell in and then also peace from their warfare. He brought them out of Egypt with his mighty right hand and brought them into that land that he had promised them. He promised to be with them and provide for them on the way. But yet, even though they had received these promises of God, and even though they had received all these blessings from God, still the people rebelled against him in the wilderness. That's what our author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 is speaking of when he recounts the story of Israel's rebellion in the wilderness. In Exodus chapter 17, he doubted God's provision when they were thirsty. They didn't have any water to drink, and so they rebelled against God, thinking that God wasn't providing for them. And they even went so far as to say, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Though they had seen his incredible works, they had just gotten done seeing him part the Red Sea. They had been provided by him. He had guided them in the wilderness in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. He had given them the manna to eat. He had given them water to drink. And yet this time when they were thirsty, they went so far as to say, "Is God even with us at all?" And then in the same way, when they were about to enter into the promised land in Numbers chapters 13 and 14, they doubted if God was actually going to give them victory to enter into the land. You remember the story of the 12 spies who went into the land? 10 of them said, "There's no way we can possibly win. There's no way we're actually going to be able to go in and possess this land." Only 2 trusted in God's promises and said, "God has promised to give us victory. He will give us victory to enter this land." But so many of them forgot the promise. So many of them doubted, and then even ended up accusing God that he had actually brought them out there to die in the wilderness. And because of this doubt, because of this rebellion, God says of them in Numbers chapter 14, "None of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers." They were promised the rest of the promised land, but because of their rebellion, they would not enter. And then Hebrews chapter 4 reiterates this word of God by quoting Psalm 95. "As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." The promise was given, but they would not enter because of their unbelief, because of their own hardness of heart. And God promises a new way that he gives his people rest. Not a land in a particular location, but in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who takes our sins away. Hebrews chapter 4 put it, "For if Joshua had given rest, God would not have spoken of another later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God." The rest of the promised land that he promised the people of Israel, and the rest of the Sabbath day, these things weren't the end goal in themselves, but rather they were pointing forward to something that would happen later. They were pointing forward to Jesus Christ, our Lord, the one who would take our sins upon himself in order that we might find rest in him. And the rest of Jesus Christ, our Lord, is eternal life forever with him in heaven. And that's the main message that our text from Hebrews chapter 4 has for us today, that Christ gives eternal rest to the one who believes in him. The forgiveness of sins that we find in Christ offers us peace and rest. Just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus gives us rest because he takes our burden of sin that is placed upon us, these sins that we have inherited from Adam and Eve, and also these sins which we commit ourselves that weigh us down. Jesus takes all of these and puts them on himself and pays the penalty for them on the cross. On the cross, when he cried out, "It is finished," this meant that the work of salvation is done. There's no more work that needs to be done by you or by anyone else. Christ accomplished it all on the cross. And because of his work on the cross, we find rest in his forgiveness. Rest from sin and the consequences that come from it. Because if you remember, when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, one of the consequences of sin that were given to Adam, one of the curses, was that he would have hard labor to bring forth food from the ground. It wasn't going to come easy anymore, but the ground would also bring forth thorns and thistles, and by the sweat of his brow, he would eat food. But because Jesus gives us forgiveness of sin, he also reverses then the consequences that come from sin. Though we labor here on earth with painful toil, Jesus promises to give us rest in him. And then in addition to this, St. Paul in Romans chapter 6 says that the one who sins is a slave to sin. Is a slave to sin. And sin is a brutal taskmaster, taking us where is not good for us, taking us places that are actually harmful for us. But when Jesus frees us from sin, he also frees us from slavery to sin, bondage to sin, so that sin no longer has any more dominion or control over us, but rather we are given the path of Christ, the way of Christ. The rest of Christ that we find in him also frees us from the fear and anxiety that we face each and every day in this life. Because you know as well as anyone else that in this world, even though you have the rest of Jesus and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus, you will still face trials in this life. You're still going to face hardship in this life. Just like the people of Israel did in the wilderness when they were waiting to enter the promised land. But when we have the promised rest of Christ, we don't need to reject God when we face these hardships. We don't need to reject God or doubt him when we face despair. But rather, when we face these things, we cling to him all the more because of what he has done for us. Because we know that he has provided for us in our greatest need, to give us forgiveness, to give us life, to give us freedom from even death. So we also know that he will provide for us in every need in this life and in the life to come according to his good and gracious will, in the way that he seems to be best, in the way that is actually best for us. This is what Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 6, when he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you." When you have freedom from death in Christ, this gives you the assurance that anything you face in this life, he will deliver you through it. When you have been delivered through the worst thing that you could possibly face, death itself, you know that Christ will deliver you through all things. This is what St. Paul is talking about in Romans chapter 8, when he says, "Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So therefore, knowing that we have this promise of salvation, know that we have the promised rest in Christ. The author to the Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 4 urges us, strive to enter that rest firm in the faith. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Strive to enter that rest so that we might not fall by the unbelief that the people of Israel had in the wilderness when they forgot the promises of God, but rather doubted him. Don't doubt God in the midst of trials, but rather cling to him all the more, even in the face of difficulties. Because the people of Israel in the wilderness, they focused only on their present trouble, and they forgot all of the good things that God had done for them in the past, and they forgot all of the things that God had promised to do for them in the future. Like I was saying before, they had seen all the mighty works of God. They had seen the Red Sea parted and them go through on dry land. They had seen him provide for them in the wilderness, and yet even when they thirsted, they fell into despair. Even when they thought they might not receive victory in the promised land, they despaired, doubted God instead. So take this as a cue from the Israelites to learn from them that when you face trials, remember what God has done for you in the past, and then also what he has promised to do for you in the future. When you face trials, remember that Christ has delivered you from the worst possible thing, sin and death, in the past. And then also remember what he has promised to do in the future, that he says, "Behold, I am coming soon." That he has promised to hold all things in his hand in heaven and on earth, even here and now, as he controls things from the right hand of the Father. That he has promised to come again to raise you even from death and to bring you home to be with himself in heaven. Cling to these things in the midst of your trials and know that in Christ you find rest and peace and deliverance at all times. As our text from Hebrews 4 said, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." Today, when you hear the voice of God, when you hear his promises and hear what he has done for you, do not harden your hearts, but believe. Believe that in him you find that promised rest. Every day that we live is an opportunity to turn to God in repentance and faith and receive his forgiveness. Every day that we live is an opportunity to trust in Christ. Rest in the forgiveness of Christ today and enter into his rest in the kingdom of heaven for eternity. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.